out of her heavy bearskin coat and stuff it through the cage. Dean dropped his canteen, then the newly acquired Kalashnikov and the ammo clips. The coat burst into flames, and the ammo exploded as the grass turned brown underneath the items. The brown line in the soil streaked after them, coming closer by the second. Frantically, the companions emptied the pockets of MRE packs, spare knives, extra ammo, and everything else they could find.
Radios!
Jack ripped the transmitter free and cast it away. With the motorcycles moving at top speed, the companions raced through the forest in a nightmare of dodging trees and crashing through bushes. Unstoppable, the death wave from the kite swept onward. But with their load lightened, the companions miraculously began to pull away from the wave of death, the crackling of the leaves slowly fading into the distance. Soon, it was gone from sight, and living green plants surrounded them once more. The itching eased, and the metal of their blasters started to cool. The riders didn't slow their frantic pace through the Tennessee woods. Soon, the trees began to thin, and the companions broke out of the woods and onto smooth, rolling grasslands again. An hour passed in silent speed, clouds forming overhead to mask the eternal stars and moon. Thankfully, there was no sign of the pools and streams that had surrounded the redoubt before. The waters must have receded over time, and the land was alive again. But not for long.
We should be safe now!
The boy held his Browning high power and a single clip in sweaty hands, ready to lose both should it prove necessary. He had tried unlacing his combat boots, but it was plainly impossible to do that on a moving bike. Shaking her head, Christy released her hair from its confines, and the fiery cascade flexed freely once more.
Thank Gaia, that's over. My hair was in agony.
Nobody stop until we reach the redoubt. And watch the clouds. The kite might be skipping ahead of us, so we race straight into its beams.
Maneuvering his bike closer, Ryan shouted to Mildred.
What was that?
The open space is allowing her to relax a notch. Mildred bit a lip and tried to figure a way to explain what they had just faced.
In the kitchens of the redoubts, you've used the microwave oven to boil water, and once we baked a potato, same thing.
Ryan frowned as the engine of his bike sputtered, and he revved the throttle. The Harley was dangerously low on fuel.
You called it a kite! That a war satellite?
She shrugged.
Not originally, but I guess it is now.
The quivering needle of the fuel gauge stopped moving as it reached the empty mark, and Ryan concentrated on squeezing a few more miles out of the gas vapors in the tank. Silas had found a microwave satellite and gotten control with an old SETI dish. Good thing he had aced the old bastard on sight. But if Silas was chilled, then who was operating the kite? The landscape began to take on a familiar shape, and Ryan began to remember details of the last visit there. The fights, desperate running, a bloody ambush, and the endless chilling. It had been one of their worst jumps, and the redoubt itself was as bare as a spent round. There wasn't a can of beans or anything useful inside, just an armored vault filled with pre-dark works of art, bronze statues, and antique oil paintings. Why would the Pentagon waste valuable space storing those things away from the ravages of a nuke storm? That was just another of the endless mysteries about the redoubts, and one he had no desire to solve. Just then, a familiar shape rose from the ground in the glare of the headlights. The front of the redoubt was as Ryan remembered, battered and charred from the nuke blasts of Skydark. But the armored door was as sturdy as ever, and the companions would be safe.
The redoubt!
Christy slowed her speed. Taking the lead, Ryan rolled his bike around the outcropping until reaching the front of the underground base. Massive black doors stood untarnished and immutable in a small recess, an armored keypad set into the burnished jamb of the portal. Braking to a halt, the companions turned off the engines and set the kickstands. Silence greeted them, a soft wind blowing from the direction of the distant forest. Mildred spoke to the unasked question as she stiffly climbed from the cage.
Thermal currents from the kite.
For a second, she looked for her med kit. Then memory flared, and she grimly walked toward the redoubt. The physician could assemble another kit over time. More important, safety was only a few yards away. Ryan was already standing at the door, tapping the entry code onto the keypad, when the ground underneath the man heaved, and he was thrown sprawling yards away. Spitting curses, the companions threw their blasters as a nightmare crawled out of the soil directly in front of the door. It was a twisted mutie unlike anything they had ever seen before. The grotesque creature possessed a misshapen head covered with different-sized eyes and multiple ears. Its drooling mouth was filled with fangs, and a forked tongue lolled over pale, leathery lips. The long, serpentine body was covered with spotty fur, as if it suffered from mange or rat poisoning. However, massive muscles rolled beneath the leathery skin as the mutie shambled closer on four powerful legs, two tiny shriveled limbs dangling impotently from its hideous chest. Sharp claws ripped apart the hard soil as the slavering beast started to crawl cat-like toward the companions. JB cursed, working the bolt on his Uzi.
Silas! He knew we'd try for the redoubt and left one of his DNA experiments for us.
Rising to one knee, Ryan leveled the Steyr SSG-70. He was down to only a few clips, but there was no time to waste with this mutie. They had to get inside before the kite returned.
Kill it!
In unison, the companions opened fire in a ragged volley, the barrage of rounds tearing the screaming animal apart. It slumped to the ground, bleeding from a dozen wounds.
See any more around?
Ryan stood, chambering a fresh round. He glanced at the ground for any suspicious movements, then at the sky. The clouds were still thick and heavy. Good.
Looks clear.
Doc studied the fields around them while waving away the smoke from his Lama. Colt at the ready, Jack dropped to one knee and placed the flat of his hand in the cold soil.
No vibrations.
Nasty looking bugger.
Then JB stared in astonishment as the dead mutie began to stir. Sluggishly, the thing rose on its hind legs, the holes in its skin closing into dainty, puckered scars.
By the three Kennedys.
Doc gaped as he switched the selector pin on his Lama from the .44 mini-balls to the smoothbore 63 caliber shotgun. There was only a single load, but at such close range it should remove the creature's head. Hastily, Christy thumbed fresh cartridges into her revolver as a rill of porcupine quills extended protectively along the neck of the snarling mutie.
Gaia, protect us. It's regenerating.
Christy dropped a few rounds, but reloaded the blaster in record time. The redhead closed the cylinder with a snap of her wrist and fired again immediately. The soft-nosed bullets hit the creature in the chest and neck with less effect this time. The wounds closed without scars after only weeping a few drops of the weird, semi-transparent green blood.
How the hell are we going to chill something that can do that?
She began backing away.
Don't have to chill it! Just have to get past!
Furiously working the bolt on his Steyr, Ryan pumped two rounds from the long blaster directly into the beast, stalling for Doc until he was ready. The long 7.62mm cartridges each took out an eye, which started to regrow. JB added a burst from the Uzi, concentrating on the chest. Greenish blood spurted with every hit, the wounds closing faster, as if the mutie were accelerating the healing process. Stepping closer, Doc ducked under a lashing tail and fired the Lama at point-blank range. The massive black powder weapon vomited flame and smoke from the wide muzzle, the shotgun round slamming the beast backward against the door of the redoubt. But as the companions watched, the growling mutie rose again. The gaping hole in its chest, leaking a greenish ichor, began to close, and the bleeding stopped. Dodging to the left, then darting to the right, the mutie came ever closer, a forked tongue running hungrily along its mottled jaws.
Darn night!
JB released the Uzi and swung the S&W shotgun into play. Only four shells remained. The armorer knew he had to make every one count. Working the pump, he fired two shells at the creature, the spray of flechettes tearing its head apart. But the bleeding pieces of flesh slid together again, and a pair of scorpion tails arched from its mottled back, the barbed tips glistening with moisture.
Poison!
Mildred targeted its face with her ZKR pistol. Several of its eyes exploded from her soft lead rounds, and the hissing mutie started directly toward her, the other orbs extending on pale stalks. Suddenly, clear moonlight flooded the battle scene.
The kite!
Go for its head!
Ryan moved forward, firing with each step. The companions aimed and unleashed a ragged volley, the beast screaming in